Today we're going to be talking about trust. Let's just open with Lord, word of prayer quick to the Lord, and we're going to get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we can gather together, that we can worship you, that we can praise you, that we can gather as a body of believers to edify one another and to worship you and to draw close to you and learn from your word. I ask that you would give me the words to say, give me the message that you want to be heard, and help us all to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Talking about trust, the issue of trust. Trust is a big issue in our society, in our world, amongst each other, individually, one-on-one, families, relationships. Trust is a big deal. And, you know, as an example, when we get married, there are some things that you need to learn about trust. Both of our personalities, we were kind of control freaks. So when Ashley and I got married, you know, there's things that you need to learn how to trust each other. Everybody who got married probably has that. You know, there's in my life, there's the right way, and then there's everyone else's way. And you know, if someone does something differently, sometimes you have to learn that, you know what, it's okay as long as it's done right. And my wife's the same way. So, you know, when we got married, we had to learn how to trust each other. You know, just everyday life, you know, we have to trust people. Just think about what's going on in the world today. We're supposed to trust our leaders. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's not. You know, there's things going on that we don't know about, and so sometimes we criticize those in charge, even though we don't really know what's all going on, and sometimes, you know, we need to be aware of that. And, you know, of course, we should be praying for our leaders and things, but, you know, things with COVID going on, and now the riots happening, you know, and we're always we always jump to our own personal conclusions based on our own biases of different things, and sometimes it's right or sometimes it's wrong. You know, I'm not saying go through life with no discernment, but there is a level of trust that we need to place in people. That's why we have elections. We vote for people that we trust more than the other guy. Sometimes not all the way. They're still politicians, but there's a level of trust there. You know, just family relationships in general, friends. You know, my grandpa used to tell me all the time growing up, you know who your best friend is if you can trust your wife alone with him and not have to worry. And that's true. You know, that's a good friend. If you don't have to worry that he's going to hit on your wife if they're alone, that makes a good friend. So there are levels of trust that we have all through life. Going through life and trusting no one is a miserable life. And some of us are more cynical than others. And some of that's because we've been burned. And some of it's just because we have trust issues and we don't trust anyone for no reason. But what I want to talk about mostly today is why we can trust the Lord. Because ultimately, that's what it comes down to, is trust in the Lord. And that will affect our relationships, our interpersonal relationships. Obviously, it will affect our walk with the Lord and how we live. And it also gives us reasons why we should be trustworthy, so that other people will also trust us. So first, I want to just start with a story from the Old Testament. Familiar story, everybody knows it. Familiar story from the Old Testament. An example of a group of people trusting the Lord. And so, Exodus chapter 13. Most of you are familiar with the story, but Exodus chapter 13, this is right after the 10 plagues have occurred in Egypt. And the Hebrews are being set free. Pharaoh has finally bowed his knee. He is after the firstborn of the whole nation has died. Pharaoh has finally said, you know, okay, the people can go. You can go out into the wilderness and just go away. And so they're getting ready to go out. And Of course, there's lots of rejoicing. The people are happy. They may have been slaves for 400 years. Of course, they're excited. They're heading out. And as they're going, God has a plan. See, God always has a plan, and a lot of times we don't understand what that plan is, and whether we're just ignorant of it because we're not paying attention or because he just hasn't shown us yet. But God always does have a plan, and it's our job to trust him. So as the people are going out, you're going to notice in verse 17 of Exodus 13. Verse 17, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So they're starting out. They've just been set free. The Exodus is an example of salvation, because we're leaving Egypt. You know, you cross the Red Sea. That's the picture of baptism. You leave the world behind. You come out the other side. The world's dead at the bottom. All right. So this is basically like, you know, just the point of conversion for these people. They're moving out. They're now trusting God. They have their Savior. And they're being led by the pillar of fire, which is the angel of the Lord. And God said, okay, there's a short way. That's the way most of us would go, but God knows what's best for us. He said, okay, I don't want them to go see war right away. I'm going to take it easy on them. And that's, you know, that's God's objective. He doesn't want us to fail. Believe it or not, God actually does want us to succeed. And he's not out to get you. He wants us to have success. So he said, okay, there's a short way, but they're going to have a lot of battling, a lot of fighting, a lot of war if they go that way. It's the way of the Philistines. Those pesky Philistines, they show up for a long time, right? But God, you know, he puts on the kitty gloves for us and said, okay, I'm going to take you a different way. So as we read on, so God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with them. For he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from being before the people. So, God is visibly showing them the way. Literally, visibly showing them the way. He is in the pillar of fire and in the cloud. And he is showing them the way. And he is always before them. And quite honestly, this is the way our life is today. God is showing us the way. Some of us don't like to follow God's way, and it leads us into trouble. But God is showing the way. We have the Word of God now, the Bible, and that's the easiest way for us to see where God's leading us. And sometimes we have to stop and listen. Sometimes we have to turn off the noise and actually pay attention to what God's showing us. But God is leading us in the right way. So, God's leading them along the way. And then, he kind of has a plan. You see, God wants to give Israel a reason to trust him. He wants to show them his power. And not only that, he wants to have honor and glory over the Egyptians. And so, starting in chapter 14, or verse 1, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Zephon, you shall camp before it by the sea. So Pharaoh will say to the children of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. I will give honor, I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So, God says to Moses, Moses, I got a plan here. I want you to go over there, camp next to the sea. It's going to look like you guys are trapped, but I have a plan because I am going to show the Egyptians that I am the Lord. Apparently, they had not understood yet, after the 10 plagues, who God really was. But because God is merciful, he wants to show people who he is. Because our responses to him are a lot of times dense, he has to keep showing us. And so he has a plan for the Egyptians. He's going to show them who the Lord is. He's also going to show the Israelites one more time who he is. Give them one more reason to trust him. And so, I love the response there. And they did so. God gave Moses a plan. He said, hey, this is what we're doing, and the people just did it. At this point, they're still trusting God, they're still trusting Moses. And this is just a side note. This is what I said earlier. Sometimes our leaders know things we don't know. Moses had God's plan. He knew what was going on. The people didn't. It was their responsibility to trust Moses. Moses obeyed God. God gave him the plan. Moses didn't really have a trust issue at this point. He had already learned his lesson. So God gave him the plan. This is what we're going to do. You know, sometimes those in authority over us know things that we don't know. And they're leading us, and it's our job to trust them. Because by trusting them, we're trusting the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have discernment. That doesn't mean that we don't look for things that are wrong. But we do have responsibility to have a certain level of trust, because that is trust in the Lord. Because sometimes people have information that we don't have. Maybe they know something we don't know. And if God's put them in authority over us, our issue is really with the Lord. So, continuing on. Verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So they made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots, all the chariots of Egypt, with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So at first they're bold, they're trying to get away. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea of Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now this is a natural response. If you were escaping with your wife and children, and an army of chariots and footmen were chasing you, it would be natural to feel afraid. A lot of times we give the children of Israel a bad rap about this. We say, oh, you know, those guys, they got no faith. They just seen Egypt. You know what? It's okay to be afraid. It's what you do when you are afraid that matters. The fact that they had fear is normal. If you were outside with your wife and children, I mean, you're not exactly dressed for war at the time. Some probably were. But the majority were. The children weren't. The women weren't. And you see the greatest army in the history of the world up to this point chasing you down. Naturally, you would have some fear. And their first response is great. They cried out to the Lord. But then, the doubt creeps in. Because they didn't see the immediate response. And so many times we want God to answer our prayers now, on our time, on our terms, how we want him to. But we have to remember that God already has a plan. And we are part of his plan. He doesn't have to do our plan. So God has a plan. And his plan is a lot better than their plan. Israel's idea of a plan was, just save us. We don't care what happens, just save us. But when that didn't immediately happen, they doubted. Well, see, God had a better plan. So, the children of Israel, they cried out to the Lord. But then, they said to Moses, behold, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And so now they're complaining, they're bickering, they're mad at Moses. They're like, why'd you bring us out? We told you. We told you. If we try to leave, it's just going to be bad for us. We're a lot better here. Being slaves, a lot better off. Well, we all know that's not true. No one's better off being a slave. It's better to die free than to be a slave, right? Everybody knows this. And that's what America was founded on. I mean, that's who we are. So we look at this and we're like, these guys are lame. What in the world? Why would you rather go back to Egypt and be a bunch of slaves and die? I'd much rather die than be a slave. But you know what? That doesn't matter. That's how they felt. Now, was that right? No, it wasn't. But you know what? We do the same thing because we do it with our sin. We'd rather be slaves to our sin than follow the will of God for our life. We'd rather be a slave to sin than allow God to work. We'd rather be a slave to sin than be uncomfortable. You know, there's a certain comfort in our slavery to sin. There are certain things in our life that we like, and there's a certain comfort there. And you know what? Getting those out is uncomfortable. Having God change our life hurts, and it is uncomfortable. There is no doubt about it. But we have a reason to trust the Lord, knowing that His plan is greater than our plan, knowing that if I obey God, things will be much, much better off for me. And that's where trust comes in. So, moving on. We'd rather die back in Egypt. And Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. So sometimes you need to have a man of God stand up in your life and just set you straight. You know, for these people, it was Moses. Moses stood up and said, you know what? Just be quiet. Let God do what God's going to do. God will show you His salvation. God will make it right. You know what? Sometimes a little encouragement goes a long way. Sometimes that's all we need. Sometimes when we're facing doubts in our life, we need someone to come alongside of us and say, you know what? God does have a plan. You know what? God's plan is a good plan. You know what? God is going to take care of this. Sometimes that doesn't help us, but a lot of times it does. You know, and we need people in our life that will stand up, trusting in the Lord, and say, you know what? Let's all trust God together. Let's see what God can do. And you know what? We need to be those people. Sometimes we have to put our foot down and say, you know what? God is in control, and I'm going to see what God's going to do, and I'm going to do what is right, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's hard. And we need to be those people. We always look to others saying, you know, who's going to lead us? But the fact is, we can be that leader. We can be the one that puts our trust in the Lord. We can be that one that allows God to work through us. We can be the one to affect other people. We can be that person that will stand up and say, you know what? God has a plan, and He will save us. And let's do what God wants us to do. And instead of looking to others to fill that void, why don't we fill that void? So, we will keep moving on. I'm almost to the point. This is the intro. Anyway, make a long story short. Moses walks up to the seaside. He puts his staff out over the water. The water recedes back. Walls on both sides. The Israelites go marching on through, right? It wasn't this little single file line, you know, two by two like they show in the old movie, because that would have stretched out for a long ways. But they went marching on through. The pillar of cloud went down, blocked the Egyptians. You got the fire cloud blocking them. They couldn't get through. They couldn't see what was going on. Another thing about that cloud, the Egyptians couldn't see anything. The Israelites could see everything. And when you have the Lord, you can see. When you don't have the Lord, you can't see. And that's basically what it was for these people. So the Israelites go through on dry ground, walls of water on both sides. They get through the other side. And God says, okay. He moves the pillar of cloud away. The Egyptians take off after him. They're running down through the Red Sea. Water on both sides. They're chasing these Israelites down. I can't even imagine what these soldiers are thinking. These guys just experienced the 10 plagues also. They almost have to think, you know what, something's up here. And they're going through, and then the wheels start falling off the chariots, and they're stuck. And the Bible says they're having a hard time moving. If you ever tried to drag a chariot with no wheels, I can imagine it was hard. And they get stuck in the mud, and the God has Moses put his hands up again. The water comes crashing back down. The Egyptians are all drowned. And the next morning when the Israelites come out, all they see is corpses floating on the seaside. And the entire Egyptian army was wiped out in one instant by the power of God. And God gave the Israelites a reason to trust. He gave the rest of the Egyptians a reason to know who God is. And he had his honor over them, as he said. You see, you can only defy God so long before he does put you straight. And as a nation defies the Lord, eventually he will show them who is his boss. So, let's continue on. I want to look at some reasons why we should trust the Lord. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list. I mean, there's lots and lots and lots and lots of reasons why we should trust the Lord. There's example after example we can give, but I have six of them here. Six reasons why you should trust the Lord. And by no means is it an exhaustive list, but these are, I think, a good indication of what the list would be. And also, these are the things that, quite honestly, spoke to me the most. These are the reasons I have for trusting the Lord. So, reason number one. He knows you by name. Do you know how awesome it is that our God knows our name? We hear it said all the time, the creator of the universe. Well, yeah, he is. He is the creator of the universe. And he knows your name. That's pretty neat. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Israel, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now you may say, well, that's Israel. You know, that was a whole nation. Well, you know what? Jesus does in the New Testament. Right? Remember old Saul on the road to Damascus? Right? The bright light knocks him off his horse. That's a bright light that's so bright it knocks you off your horse. He lands in the ground, and Jesus says to him from heaven, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? See, God knows our name, and when he calls us by name. Now, Cornelius, another example. You know, he's praying. He believes in God. He's praying that God would show him the way to salvation. And the angel comes to him and says, Cornelius, calls him by name, right? I mean, the Bible is full of examples where angels of the Lord came to people and called them by name. Like, he knows who we are, and he calls us by name. You know, 2 weeks ago, Pastor had a message about the 12 apostles being called by Jesus. You think Jesus didn't know who they were? You know, of course he's calling them by name. You know, my favorite, I think, is Matthew. He's sitting there in his tax collecting booth, being a tax collector. I mean, talk about scum of the earth. Jesus comes up to him and says, "Matthew, follow me. You know, in fact, you're going to join us for supper tonight." And Matthew's like, "Well, I'm a tax collector. I don't think anyone would want me." And Jesus says, "That's okay. We're going to your house." Right? Okay, he calls us by name. God knows who we are, and he wants us, and he calls us by name. Number two, he will fight for you. We've seen this in Exodus. Exodus 14:14. Moses is standing up there on the rock, shouting at the people, "The Lord will fight for you. Just hold your peace and watch it." That's the thing. God will fight for us. God actually wants us to succeed. If we obey God, if we follow God, if we get in line with God's plan, he'll be fighting for us. I mean, think about when the Israelites finally, you know, go into the promised land 40 years later, and they're being led by Joshua. Man, they didn't lose people. Like, nobody died. They went into battle and people didn't die. It was unbelievable. Until they fight this little itty-bitty town, Ai, and they lose, like, what is it, 36 people? And it's a travesty, you know? Joshua throws himself on the ground. "God, why are you punishing us? You know, who sinned? Why? You know, and they had to get sin out of the camp. They had to go back to following God, getting rid of their sin. And they continued on. When we're in line with God's plan, we're going to see victories in your life that will be astounding, will blow us away. You will see things happen that you could not even imagine. And the only thing that keeps us from seeing those things is our own sin and our own unwillingness to obey and follow the Lord. Number three, third reason why we can trust the Lord. He thinks about us. Do you know the creator of the universe, the God of heaven, he actually thinks about you. He sits there in heaven thinking about you. Psalms 139:17. And to me, how precious have been thy thoughts, O God. How great hath been their sum. Psalm 40:5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God actually thinks about us. He sits there in heaven, and he is thinking about us. I mean, what a wonderful comfort we can have in that. That not only God knows us, he thinks about us. You see, God's not some impersonal being out there who created the universe and ran away and hid. He is actively involved in our life, and he has a plan for us, and he is actively participating in it, thinking about us, leading us, guiding us. That's the God that we serve. And we can have trust in the Lord because we can know that he knows us, that he thinks about us, that he wants what's best for us. Number four, we can trust the Lord because he has plans for us. You know, we've all heard this verse. Motivational speakers like this one a lot. You know, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I have, think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So now he gives us a little bit of thought, a little bit into what that the thoughts are. He has thoughts, he has plans. His plans for us are a future and a hope, right? This is great news. God does have a plan for our life. We hear it all the time. Sometimes it's some sappy TV preacher who's just trying to give you money. Get you to give him money. Sorry. But you know what? The fact is, it's true that God actually does have a plan for your life. Now, the question is, are you following it? The question is, are you obeying him? The question is, are you actually letting God do the things in your life that he wants to do in your life? Or are we just going around and letting the blessing skip over us, going around torturing ourselves, living in discontentment because we're not doing the will of the Lord? He is a refuge. Number five, we can trust God because he is our refuge. There are times in our life where things are tough. Where do we go for help? There are times in our life where we are discouraged, when we are tired, when we are broken, when we are hurt. Where do we go for our help? There are times when we struggle with things. Where do we turn? Do we turn to alcohol? Do we turn to our phones? You know, if we're sad and depressed, what's the first thing to do? Do we turn to God and pray, read some Psalms? Or do we grab our phone out and scroll Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is? Where do we turn for our comfort? Where does our comfort come from? Psalm 62, 6 through 8. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So who is our refuge? What is our refuge? Where do we go for comfort? Is it the Lord? It should be the Lord. I mean, that's the only place we're going to get comfort. He is the strong rock that we can go to. He is the refuge where we can hide. He is the one who can give us that comfort that we need. You know, and with that being said, you know, we need to be a refuge to each other. Because God is, us as Christians should be that for each other. Now, we can't fulfill like God can, and yes, we will disappoint. And we should not look to each other in the same way that we would look to God for comfort, but God can give us that comfort through Christian friends or through family. You know, when you come home at night, your house should be a refuge. You shouldn't have to deal with the disgusting things of the world that you have to deal with every day. You should be able to go home and not have to worry about being bombarded with all the attacks of the world. You know, we should be that for our spouses. We should be that for our family. We should be that for our friends. But ultimately, it's God. Because people will disappoint us. And we should not take it personal or offense and be offended when we are disappointed by people. Because that will happen. We're all people. But where is your trust? When things are hard, who do you turn to? There are so many things, you know. And so it's so stupid. You know, you get depressed, you turn to alcohol. Alcohol is a depressant. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. You know, people who spend, I mean, you study after study, you just keep seeing them. People who spend too much time on their phones looking at social media are 30% more likely to be depressed. And so when you're depressed or anxious, and you turn to something that causes you to be more depressed. I mean, every year there's a study that comes out about social media and why it causes people to be anxious and depressed. You know, if that's something you're dealing with, maybe shut your phone off for a month or something. Try it. I don't know. I mean, it's not everyone. You know, a lot of people are on it just fine and there's no issues. It doesn't cause them issues. You know, it's not everyone, but there's, you know, what do we turn to for our comfort and our joy, for our peace, for our refuge? What is it? Who is it? What's our first response? Who's the first one we go to when we have a problem in our life? And number six. Well, six and seven. I made up another one. We can trust the Lord because he died for us. Jesus came, he died. We just sung the song a little bit ago, right? Jesus died for us. He rose again. And, you know, we can trust that, you know. What's John 3:16, right? God sent his son to die for us because he loved us. God loved us. He died for us. We can trust him. And then as he's leaving, as Jesus is now at the end, and he is ascending to heaven after his resurrection, and he's looking out over the crowd, all the disciples who gathered there to see him off. And he tells the people, Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We can take comfort in that. You know what? We can trust the Lord. Why? Because he will be with us always. God is with us. If we are born again, if we are Christians, if we have bowed our knee to the Lord, he is with us always. Not only did God love us so much that he sent Jesus to die for our sins and save us, and Jesus rose out of that grave, proving that he was who he said he was, proving that he was God, proving that all the trust that we have in him was real and true. Then in his farewell address to the people before he ascends to heaven, he tells them, you know what? I'm going to be with you always. We can trust the Lord because he is with us. In this world today, there is a lot of distrust. You look around, there's a lot of people that don't trust people. We don't trust our politicians, understandably so. You know, we've been burned. We don't trust some of our neighbors. We don't trust even people in our church. We don't trust lots of people. There are riots happening all around us because people aren't trusting. Whether we agree with it or not, there is distrust. It's a fact of life. And if the Christian church could start leading the way, it would make a huge difference in this world. We know the answer to the world's problems is is the gospel. We need to bow our knee to the Lord and be saved. And that will solve all the world's problems. But as Christians, we don't necessarily make a good example to those who do not have the gospel, because we bicker and fight amongst each other. We have all kinds of trust issues. We claim the name of the Lord, but we don't trust him. And we live in sin. Sin is the indicator that you don't trust the Lord, because if you did, you would do his plan. You know, we live together before we're married because we don't trust God's plan. God's plan is clear in the scriptures. But no, we don't do that because I got a better plan. I got a better way. You think God's going to bless your life when you live your way instead of his? All you're going to do is regret. And we've all been there, for crying out loud. Every one of us can look back in life and say, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. I regret it. And if you don't have that in your life, you're just lying to yourself. We all have regrets. Every one of us can sit here and say, man, that was dumb. You know, all of us. You know, we need to stop throwing stones at each other, and we need to start getting our lives right. And then maybe those around us will see the example. You know, maybe we can demonstrate to the world how much we trust the Lord by actually telling others the gospel. You know, we get so busy with our lives that we forget to do the one command Jesus gave us before he left. Go make disciples of me. And I get it. That's not always easy, and it is uncomfortable. And me personally, it's really uncomfortable. It's weird to walk up to a stranger and preach the gospel to them. Now, there are less awkward ways of doing this, but are we actively engaged in at least trying? Or do we have such little trust in the changing power of the gospel that we don't even share it with people? And I want to leave you with that thought. What are we doing to demonstrate our trust in the Lord? So many of us have decisions that we need to make each and every day. And a lot of times we even know what the right decision is, but we start looking around at the wisdom of the world instead of God's wisdom. And we are afraid to make the right choice because of what others will think, say, or do. When in reality, the only one who matters is the Lord. So when we leave here today, take that with you. Are you trusting the Lord with your decisions? Are you trusting the Lord enough to actually share the gospel with people? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the examples you've given us in the scripture of all kinds of people who have trusted you and all the reasons why we can trust you. Ask you, Lord, that you would help us to obey you. I ask you that you would help us to trust you. And Lord, if there are things in our life that we need to get right with you, I ask, Lord, that you would give us the courage to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.